All right, I want you to open your Bibles today, if you would please, to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. The title of the message is, God Does Not Owe You Anything. Psalm 136. And there's only 26 verses in this psalm, and I want to read them all. And I think you'll understand why momentarily. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. God does not owe you anything. God is indeed merciful. In fact, as Scripture tells us, His mercy endures forever. And this psalm, it's an absolutely wonderful psalm, and it emphasizes the mercies of God in each verse. This psalm was written by David. We are told in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 41 through 43, and let me just read it. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun and the rest were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks unto the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. And the sons of Jeduthun were porters, and all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. So David wrote this psalm, and of course it is a psalm to praise the Lord. Solomon, David's son, expressed the same views concerning God's mercies when he was dedicating the temple. In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 3, the Bible says, And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped, and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And then in verse 6, And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever. Interestingly, King Jehoshaphat applied the mercies of God to warfare. Do you realize that when Jehoshaphat was going out to war, he applied and ordained that his singers lead the army, precede the fighting men, and to proclaim God's praises and God's mercies. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 21, the Bible says, And when he, that is Jehoshaphat, had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of His holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Interestingly enough, there are so many verses in the Bible that refer to God's mercies. It would be almost impossible. In fact, it would be impossible to quote them all in one message. Do you realize that David, when he was confessing his sins in Psalm 51 and verse 1, said this, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." And yes, the tender mercies of God are indeed multitudinous. There is no way in the world that anyone could name or list all of the mercies of God. But I must point out that God is also known in Scripture as the Father of mercies. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." So consequently, the one true and living God is the source and the origin of all mercies. All mercies originate in Him. And this truth is plainly enunciated in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So let me just give you two verses in the Old Testament. The first one is Exodus 34 and verse 6. "And the Lord passed by before him," that is before Moses, "and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." But notice, he said the Lord merciful and gracious. And then in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 31, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." I've read Psalm 136 this morning. I've read this psalm I don't know how many times in my life. But for years, I have envisioned this psalm being read publicly by a pastor with a clear, deep voice, enunciating the first part of each verse, and behind him a choir who would always chime in after he read the first part of the verse, "For his mercies endureth forever." You just stop and think about that for a moment. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And then the choir say, "For his mercies endureth forever." "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." And then the choir say, "For his mercies endureth forever." I don't suppose I could ever tire of hearing about the mercies of God. So here's my question this morning. Have you ever paused and contemplated the mercies of God in your daily life? Have you ever really considered how God has provided for you, protected you, preserved you, and given you His good and gracious and kind providence? I remember years ago going down to Folkestone, Georgia with Wayne Coulter. Wayne Coulter was a member of our church. He's now been dead for many years. But Wayne Coulter used to like to play golf. And he was older than I am, and hard of hearing as well. And I went with him one day to play golf. I could care less about the game, but I enjoyed the fellowship and I enjoyed the exercise. So we stopped at the railroad track, and I saw Wayne Coulter look to the left. And when I do that, I look to the right, and here came a train that was just flying like you would not believe. And I said very calmly, "You better whoa or go." And when he heard "whoa," that's all he heard. He slammed on brakes. And when he did, I mean, it was a second. If he had mashed that gas pedal, neither one of us would have lived through that. And after that train went by and we sat there and I looked at him, I said, "Brother, why don't we just sit here a few more minutes and just thank God for his mercy?" He said, "You know, I agree with that. Let's do that." Well, just stop and think about that. I have been really and truly amazed at how merciful the Lord Jesus Christ has been to me. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have sinned. And I know that the wages of sin is death. And I know that I do not personally deserve anything but judgment. And yet God in His grace and mercy has been gracious to me. He not only saved me, He called me into the ministry. He granted me life. He granted me health. He granted me the opportunity to preach and teach His word. He's given me a wonderful wife and a loving family and friends. I mean, look at the mercies of God. I understand what David meant when he said in Psalm 130 in verse 3, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" Now think about that. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You just stop and think, and I know you cannot count them, but you just stop and think how many times you've sinned against God. How many times you rebelled against Him. How many times you violated His law. And you just stop and think how many times God should have killed you a long time ago, but He did not. He was merciful to you and allowed you to live. And I've thought about that in my life. I mean, I'm like everyone else. I've done some things that have been just so stupid and so ignorant. Even the Apostle Paul said God was merciful to him for what he did in ignorance. And ignorance certainly will indeed kill you. I suppose I probably should have taken Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 as my life verses. I quote these verses all of the time. And I really and truly quote them every day. Because Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23 says this, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." When I awake every morning, the first thing in my mind is this: God preserved me while I slept. And God allowed me to awake this morning. So God not only gives us sleep and rest during the night, He also gives us His mercies and His compassions, and they are renewed every morning. And the truth of the matter is, we take these mercies for granted. We take it for granted we're just going to wake up every morning. But that's not necessarily true. My mother went to sleep and never woke up. John Battelle, another friend, went to sleep and never woke up. John Cain went to sleep and never woke up. You see, just because God gives you sleep and God gives you rest does not necessarily mean that you're going to wake every morning. And the truth of the matter is this: if God allows you to awaken, you better be thanking Him for the mercies and the compassions that He's given you. The problem is, we become so used to and accustomed to all of these mercies that we take them for granted. And we very seldom give God the praise and the honor that is due Him. I want you to hold Psalm 136, but look in your Bibles, Luke chapter 17, Luke 17, and just see if this is not basically the way we are in our lives. Luke 17, and let's begin reading there with verse 9. Luke 17, verse 9. "And it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you realize, evidently 9 of these individuals were Israelites. The one was a stranger or a Samaritan. And it was the Samaritan, the stranger, that turned back and gave him thanks and gave him praise. How often we have been sick and recovered. We've been ill and we've gotten well. And we just assume that that's the way it will always be. And we fail to render unto God the praise that is due in his name. What we have become is basically an unthankful, ungrateful, and unappreciative people. We have received so many mercies from God that we take the lesser ones for granted, and we even sometimes assume the attitude that God owes us. We assume that God will always be there and that he will always bless us no matter what. Now, I understand that a lesser mercy is still a mercy. So let me just clarify, what do I mean by lesser mercies? Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, we'll look at several verses. Psalm 145, and notice if you would please, verse 9. Psalm 145, verse 9. The scripture says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Notice the Lord is good to all. God graciously and sovereignly provides for all of his creatures. Now, go back to Psalm 136, our text. Look, if you would please, at verse 25. Psalm 136, verse 25. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh? Now, go to Psalm 145 again. Psalm 145. Notice, if you would, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Note, the eyes of all wait upon thee. It didn't matter if it's a lion, a raven, a human. It doesn't matter. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Look in Psalm 147 and verse 9. Psalm 147 verse 9. The scripture says, he giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Have you ever stopped to think about your food? Have you ever stopped to think about your clothing? I mean, as children, as kids, we always tend to think, well, Mama and Daddy provide everything. They'll buy my clothes. They'll buy my food. But we never stop and think, where does Mom and Dad get their money or their food or their ability or their employment or their intellect or their energy? We never think about those things. You know what the Bible says in Acts 14, verse 17? The Apostle Paul said it like this, nevertheless, he, God, left not himself without witness in that he did good. Listen carefully. and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. It is only God who gives the rain. It's only God who gives fruitful seasons. It's only God who fills our hearts with food and gladness. Stop and think about this. The Bible said that His mercies are upon all. Do you realize the most wicked and the most vile sinner, even the worst of this world, taste of God's mercies? Even those that fight against God and hate Him and despise Him eat at His table of mercy. He gives them life. He gives them breath. He gives them strength. He gives them provision and the ability to eat and enjoy that which He provides. Thus, even the wicked get crumbs from God's mercy. The Lord is good to all. The dew drops on the weeds just like it does on the flowers. The sun shines upon the just and the unjust alike. Pharaoh's head was crowned even though his heart was hardened. And many who spurn the grace of God still drink of His mercies. Let me ask you a question. Could it be possible that our sinfulness is often connected with our forgetfulness? And our forgetfulness has a direct correlation to the mercies of God. Let me show you. Look in your Bibles to Psalm 106, and I want you to look at verse 7. Psalm 106 and verse 7. Look, if you would, and ponder this verse. Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. So number one, the fathers did not understand God's wonders in Egypt. They did not understand what was happening. Number two, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. In other words, how God delivered them, how God saved them. They didn't think about that. They refused to remember it. They remembered it not. And consequently, they provoked him. And not just at the Red Sea, but they provoked him for 40 years. And their provocations were based upon the fact that they forgot God's mercies. They took them for granted. Why should I be thankful? Why should I be grateful? Why should I be appreciative? They forgot them. And the result was they provoked God. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 5. Let me show you another problem that we have when we forget God's mercies. We oftentimes misuse God's mercies. When we do not understand the wonders of God's mercies, and when we forget them, it is not long before we rush headlong into sin. So Jeremiah chapter 5, let's begin reading there verse 7. Look what God says. God asks, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full," notice now, "when I had fed them to the full," that is when I provided for them, "then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Note when God said, when I fed them to the full. And God said, how shall I pardon thee for this, thy children forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods? In other words, what they did, they took all of the blessings of God and all the mercies that God had given to them and then turned around and used it in idolatry and adultery and all kinds of sins as well. Is this not the height of ungratefulness and unthankfulness and dishonor to take the blessings of God and the mercies of God and then use them against God to violate His law and to engage in idolatry? God does not give us His gifts and His blessings in order to provide us with strength to rebel against Him. Yet, we take advantage of Him. We oftentimes use His blessings in our sin and our wickedness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? At how really corrupt and depraved we are to take something that God has given us and turn around and use it against Him. Well, I don't know about you, but this brings a thought to my mind. And I think it is a tremendous thought, and that a very important question must be asked in light of Jeremiah chapter 5. So here's the question. Listen carefully. Is it possible? Is it possible that we may abuse the mercies of God in such a way that He ultimately withholds them from us? Now that's exactly what happened in Jeremiah chapter 5. He said, how shall I pardon thee for this? And then in verse 9, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? So is it possible that we may abuse the mercies of God in such a way that He, God, ultimately withholds those mercies from us? Is that possible? Well, let's let the Scripture answer. Let's go in our Bibles, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And look, if you would please, at verse 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 3. In fact, we can read the first three verses because Solomon is trying to make those people wise who are listening. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. But let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, when he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, is it possible then that mercy and truth may forsake us? Look in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. And look at verse 15. Isaiah 63 and verse 15. Because Isaiah speaks of the fact that God's mercies may be restrained. Isaiah 63, verse 15. He says, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Or are they held back? If you would look in your Bibles to Isaiah 47 and verse 6. Isaiah 47 in verse 6. So is it possible that we can abuse God's mercies to the extent that He withholds them? Look in Isaiah 47 and verse 6. God says, I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and give them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Wow. Upon the ancient hast thou verily laid thy yoke. Note, God delivered them into the hand of the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans showed them no mercy. Look back in your Bibles to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. And notice, if you would please, verse 9. Psalm 77, verse 9. Look what the psalmist asks. Psalm 77, verse 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Wow. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? I think you're beginning to see the answer that yes, we can abuse God's mercies to the extent that he ultimately withholds them from us. David undoubtedly had this in his mind when he gave a very specific prayer request in Psalm 40 and verse 11. Because in that passage, Psalm 40, verse 11, David said, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. So he said, he asked God, withhold not thy tender mercies from me. Now, does not this request indicate that God may withhold his mercies? Do you understand this simple truth? That God does not owe us anything. God does not owe us his mercies. He may suspend them. He may restrain them. He may withhold them at any time. God does not owe us, he does not owe anyone, any society, any culture, or any nation, anything. Now let me ask you a question. In light of everything this country has been going through the last 8 years specifically, but probably we'd say the last 40 or 50 years anyhow. In light of this, have you ever considered or thought about this question? What will happen to you? Or what will happen to our society and even our nation if God suspends, restrains, or withholds his mercies? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to live in a land or in a society or a nation where God refuses to be merciful? Well, if you've never thought about it, let me show you. If you'll turn to Jeremiah 16... I will show you in the first 13 verses what it would be like to live in a society or a nation or a culture where God withholds his mercies. I want you to watch. Jeremiah 16, beginning with verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bare them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament or bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord. Watch, even loving kindness and mercies. God said, I've taken away my peace. I've taken away my loving kindness. I've taken away my mercies. Verse 6, both the great and the small shall die in this land, and they shall not be buried. Neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning, to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting, to sit with them, to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes, and in your days the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we've committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after their other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and not kept my law, and you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither you nor your fathers, and there shall you serve other gods day and night, where I will show you no favor. What did God say he was going to do to these people? He was going to take away his peace, his loving kindness, and his mercies. Has it ever entered into your mind that it is not just individuals and families and churches that need the mercies of God? Societies, cultures, and nations must also receive them or perish. Go back to Psalm 136. Go back to Psalm 136. I told you this passage has the mercies of God in every verse. And the Bible says in each of these verses, for his mercy endureth forever. And that is true. But, as I will show you from Scripture, God is absolutely sovereign. And he does not give his mercies to everyone equally. Especially his saving mercies. Do you realize, even in this passage, where God's mercies are being enunciated, there are some who did not receive his mercies. For instance, look in verse 10. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think those Egyptians who woke up and found their firstborn dead, was that a merciful act of God? Well, it was merciful toward his people, but it was not merciful toward his enemies. Look, if you would, in verse 15. Again, here it is. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. He was indeed merciful to his people, but he was not merciful to Pharaoh and his enemies, in his armies. They were his enemies, and he overthrew them in the Red Sea. What happened to Sihon and Og? Well, look if you would, beginning there in verse 17, Psalm 136. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, here's my question. Did God owe Pharaoh his mercies? Did God owe the Egyptians his mercies? Did God owe Sihon his mercies? Did God owe Og his mercies? Does God owe you His mercies? Does God owe America His mercies? The truth is, God does not owe anyone anything. It is impossible to bring God into obligation to yourself, or to your organization, or to your church, or to your society, or your culture, or your nation. It's impossible. Let me ask you a question. What happened to Sihon's nation and Og's nation? What happened to their cultures? What happened to their societies? What happened to their people? You know what God said in Romans 9 and verse 15? And Paul is quoting from Moses. Here's what God said. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. And he goes ahead in verse 16. So he says, therefore, he hardeneth whomsoever he will, and he'll have compassion or mercy upon whomsoever he will. You see, the truth is, God does not owe anyone anything. If you will look in Romans 11 very quickly, here's a passage that everyone should be totally and completely aware of. Notice Romans 11, beginning there with verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33. Paul exclaims, O the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Now watch verse 35. Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now notice this question in verse 35. Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. If you can first give to God something, then you can get God into your debt. But you have to first do something for Him, quote unquote. And who can do that? You can't do it. You say, well, I praise God, but God gave you the breath, and God gave you the intellect, and God gave you life. But I tithe, but God gave you the money. God gave you the ability to work. God gave you understanding. God gave you your intellect. You cannot first give to God. Everything we are, everything we have is of Him. It is impossible to bring God into obligation. If we can grasp these facts when we apply them to the heathen. We can easily grasp them when we apply to those people who are actively fighting against God. But how do we apply these truths to His professed people? Well, let me just tell you something. God does withhold His mercies. God does restrain them. And God does not owe anyone anything. And in His mercies, even when He judges His own people, He reserves a remnant. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 9. Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9. And let's begin reading at verse 21. And read through verse 31, 10 verses. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 21. I want you to pay close attention to this passage. Nehemiah 9, verse 21. The scripture says, yea, 40 years that didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lack nothing. We're talking about these people that are in the wilderness now, Israel in the wilderness. Yea, for 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lack nothing. Their clothes wax not old, and their feet swell not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners. So they possessed the land of Sihon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multiplied thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers, so that they should go in and possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance, so they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee. Watch, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors or judges who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, and heardest thou, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies. Watch, and testifiest against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearken not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiest against them by thy spirit and thy prophets. Yet they would not give ear, therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, watch, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Are you listening to me? The very fact that God has not consumed us and destroyed us and annihilated us is proof of his tender mercies toward us. God, when he judged his own people, in his mercies, reserved a remnant. You remember what he told Elijah when Elijah said, I'm the only one that's left? Our Lord said, I've got 7,000 whom I have reserved for myself that have not bowed the knee to Baal. God, in his gracious mercies, has not consumed us. And if God withholds and restrains his merciful hands in this nation, he will always be pleased to leave a remnant. So when we cry to God for help, we need to do so begging for his mercies. Why? Because God does not owe us anything. You can't come to God and say, now Lord, I did this for you. You owe this to me. No. God does not owe us anything. David prayed in Psalm 44 and verse 26, arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. When we come to God in prayer, we come asking for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the mercies that are in Jesus Christ. Because God does not owe us anything. Let me make a couple of applications. The first one is this. We must acknowledge with Jacob the truth of our undeserving character. Jacob said in Genesis 32 and verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies and of all thy truth which thou hast showed in thy servant. So let me ask you a question. Could you lawfully and truthfully say that you deserve everything that God has given you and all the mercies that God has given you? The answer is no. Jacob said, I'm not worthy the least of thy mercies. Who am I? And who are you to receive the merciful graciousness of our God? Everything that we receive outside of justice and judgment is pure mercy. Everything that we receive outside of justice and judgment is pure mercy. I want you to look back to Psalm 136 and the last verse, verse 26. If you understand everything that you receive outside of justice and judgment is God's mercy, then you ought to understand verse 26. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. How many times have you thanked God for His mercies? For a safe trip? For His provision? For His protection? For His preservation? For His providence? The second application is this. If we expect to receive mercy, we need to learn to show mercy. In James 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. God will have judgment without mercy on those that have showed no mercy. So we need to understand, if we want God's mercy in our life, we need to show mercy toward other people. The last one is this. We have to understand, when God shows mercy to His people, He destroys their enemies. Have you ever stopped to think that mercy and judgment go together? When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, He destroyed Egypt. When God delivered Lot out of Sodom, He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. When God delivered Joshua and the people in Canaan land, He destroyed the Canaanites. When we pray to God for His mercies upon His people, we are also praying for His destruction upon His enemies. Have you ever stopped to think? The disciples came to our Lord and said, teach us to pray. He said, okay. When you pray, you say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray, thy kingdom come, you are praying against all other kingdoms. You're praying against the kingdom of man. You're praying against the kingdom of Satan. And when you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you're saying, overthrow the new world order. Overthrow those who hate Jesus Christ. Overthrow those who refuse to abide by His law and live in His kingdom. You cannot have mercy without judgment. And when God is merciful to His people, He overthrows their enemies. So if you don't learn anything today, I want you to learn this. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You need to thank God every day for His tender mercies, His loving kindness, His compassions, and His faithfulness. For without those, you would not make it through a night. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever." Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow before Thee. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your tender mercies. And we're so thankful that the mercies of God endureth forever. May we be more conscious, Lord, of the multitude of mercies that You show each one of us. Oh, God, help us. And Lord, I do pray today that You'd be merciful to George and Lois Kane and their family and John's family, and that You would comfort and console them and give grace and mercy there. We commit ourselves unto Thee and ask for Your will and Your blessings in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.